last time I refused to pray, but still you keep calling me.
Calling me.
I don't wanna see your face. The thing I love you erased.
Come on.
Nothing but an empty space. Now I don't know how to be. I know it wasn't right for me.
Yeah.
Then what you like ain't what you need. I feel like I'm in surgery. Still you cut deeper. Can I get up now?
Please stay there.
Trying to do it on my own.
Yes, Lord.
But right now I gotta surrender. You know what's best.
Say it like you mean it.
It's not easy waiting on you. It's not easy believing that you got this together. But without faith, it's impossible to please you.
Franklin and a little Toby Mac, a song called I Am God. I couldn't think of a more appropriate song to introduce tonight's topic as we talk about the Holy Spirit. One of the ways that we can be still and know that He is God is through His Holy Spirit. In today's busy, busy world, I can't think of anything more important than learning how to be still and know that God is God and that He's the God of our lives. At least I hope He's the God of your life. And one of the ways we do that is through the Holy Spirit. So tonight we're going to talk about the Spirit-filled life. As we get ready for a new year here in 2008, how radical would it be to live out this entire year as a Spirit-filled Christian? Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I don't know what that means. I don't know how to do that. Well, that's why just decided that perhaps we should call in an expert, a dear friend of ours who's been on this program before, who talked about loving the Bible, knowing and loving the Bible, and now she's back to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. She just put out a book called Set My Heart on Fire. And I've started this book, and I'm really enjoying it so far. It's inspired me just in the early sections of it. Catherine Martin is joining us again this evening. Catherine, thank you so much for taking some time out to join us.
Well, it's a joy, yo, to be with you.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have you back, and I'm excited to talk about tonight's topic, because this is a topic, the Holy Spirit, that for whatever reason remains very ambiguous to a lot of Christians. The concept of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, is one of those nebulous things that we don't really have a grasp of. And since we can't really quite get our fingers on what it's all about, we just choose to ignore it. And that isn't necessarily the way we should live as Christians, is it?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, Jesus talked a lot about the Holy Spirit. And so that's one of the reasons why I wrote Set My Heart on Fire, because I want people to understand about the power of the Holy Spirit in their life.
Now, before we started the program, you and I were chatting a little bit, and you're talking about how one of the reasons you wanted to write this book is because you wanted to encourage people to be radical. There's been a lot of talk about conservative Christians, you know, with the election going on and, you know, the conservative vote, the conservative Christian vote, all that type of stuff. That's one term that I've never really liked. Now, I understand in context, you know, what it means, conservative values, yada, yada, yada. But for me, the concept of a truly conservative Christian, I don't like that idea, because Christians shouldn't be conservative at all. Christians should be some of the most radical, fanatical people out there, and we shy away from those terms, radical and fanatical. Well, I might stand out if I do that. Well, what's so wrong with that?
Well, you know, just think about the word power. When Jesus said, "You will receive power," the Greek word for that is dunamis, and out of that comes dynamite. And so we're talking about just spirit-filled believers that have a power that is so strong that, well, it's so strong it changes lives. So.
Well, I'm excited to go over this with you tonight. Why don't you tell people a little bit about your first experience encountering the Holy Spirit and how it changed your life?
Well, you know, when I first surrendered my life to the Lord, I remember getting involved in Campus Crusade for Christ at the college where I went to school. And I remember sitting in a room and they were talking about, oh, they're so-and-so, their heart is on fire for the Lord, or they're so-and-so, they're on fire for Jesus. And I didn't know exactly what that meant, but I knew that it was a good thing, and I knew I wanted to be on fire for the Lord. And they taught about being a spirit-filled Christian. And as I learned about what it meant to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it means to be controlled and empowered, I realized that God wanted to give me the strength to do what I didn't have strength to do in and of myself. So all of a sudden, as I began learning this, I found within me the ability to tell people about Jesus and to walk up to people and literally talk to them about the Lord when in myself, I would never do something like that, ever. And so I just began to see that something was happening inside of me that was giving me an ability to do what I'd never do in my own strength.
Well, at the beginning of a new year, a lot of people talk about change, New Year's resolutions, all those types of things. We all want to experience change. How can the Holy Spirit help us truly experience that change and have it be a change that actually lasts longer than February?
Well, it is the Holy Spirit who transforms us from the inside out, makes us the person that God intends for us to be. And, you know, I often say God will ask you to do the impossible. Why? Because he is the God of the impossible, and he never intended you to do it in your own strength. In fact, he intended that it would be impossible, so you would turn to him and allow him to be the one doing what he's asking you to do. So when you're walking with God and you he is asking you to forgive others, let's say you have a resolution that you want to forgive others or love others, but you say, oh, I just can't do it. That's right, you can't, but he can. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Holy Spirit does.
That song that we played, you probably didn't hear it while you were sitting there on hold, from Kirk Franklin, is a song that had a lot of impact on me, because it's not just a song, but it's like a story, as Kirk Franklin talks about how, you know, he wants to do his own thing, and yet God keeps working in his life to cut away things, to mold him. And Kirk Franklin, you know, he resists because it's not always comfortable. Sometimes it's painful as God works in our lives, and yet at the end of the song, you know, it accumulates to this crescendo, and finally he just says, I give up. I'm yours, Lord. Do what you will. And that song has always stirred within me ever since it just released here in late December. And it's one I just can't get out of my mind. I can't get out of my heart, because it just resonates so deeply within me. And as I was reflecting on that song, and then I came across your book, it's like, wow, these go hand in hand. Because really, if I'm going to be still and know that he is God, if I'm going to get to a point where I really allow him to work in my life, where I surrender, say, God, do what you will, the only way I'm going to be able to truly experience that is through the Holy Spirit.
That's right. And you know what, yo, you have hit at the heart of what it really means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It means that you are handing over the keys to him and saying, I want you to have control of my life. And it's saying you carry out your will, and you do in and through me what you desire. That's really what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It means to be controlled and empowered by him. And how do you do it? You ask him. You surrender and you say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And he will, because it's his will that he does fill you with his Spirit.
One of the analogies I liked in your book as I was reading through the early sections was sailing. And yes, how the Holy Spirit is something that's very analogous to sailing. It was a great illustration. It was an illustration that, for me, it was something I've always known. But the way you illustrated it, it just kind of clicked more. It's like, oh, okay, I can picture that. That's cool. I'm down with that. I'm willing to give that a try. I'll sail. See me sailing? I want to sail. I can sail. Why don't you talk a little bit about that sailing analogy?
Oh, I love it. There are a number of metaphors in the New Testament for the Holy Spirit, and one of them is wind. And the Holy Spirit is like wind. And you know, if you think about being a boat on the water, if your sail is turned in such a way to catch the wind, then you can sail on the ocean of God's love. And that is the whole picture, is to be able to run before the wind, that the Holy Spirit is blowing like wind in your life, and he wants to send you in a direction of God's plan and God's purpose. And if you're at cross purposes and your sail, the sail of your ship, so to speak, is turned the wrong way, you can't catch the wind. But the minute that you're willing to surrender and turn that sail and set the sail and say, okay, Lord, yes, Lord, I want to go with you, and I'm not going to fight against it, but I'm going to say, I want to go with you, then all of a sudden the sail catches the wind and you move. And I don't know if you've ever seen a sailboat really catching the wind. It is able to what's called run before the wind. It's a nautical term called bear away, and it means to change the course of a ship so that she can run before the wind. And so that's what we want to be, is we want to be able to run before the wind.
And I love that analogy. I think part of what just clicked so much for me as I thought about it, it made sense, because you can't really go in the direction you want when you sail. You have to go in the direction of the wind, otherwise you're not going to get anywhere. And I think that's one of the parts of it that just really clicked for me. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, I can picture that now. I try to go in my own direction. It's not going to work. It doesn't work when you sail. It's not going to work if I want to sail with the Holy Spirit. And so that just became very vibrant for me in my imagination and something that I found very inspiring, because it just suddenly, I felt kind of stupid, to be honest. Like, oh, how could I not get that before? Man. Good thing there's people like Catherine Martin to, you know, state the obvious for me so I can, oh, duh. Okay.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, yo, I'm kind of good at stating the obvious. That's what I do even for myself, you know, is to articulate these things, and then I go, oh, I get it. And, you know, it is the obvious things that we miss sometimes because, you know, when God wants to do something in our life, sometimes there's a bend in the road. And we don't like it all the time, and so we fight against it. But just imagine this. What if God has a plan, and he needs to take you through that bend in the road to get you in the new direction? And to fight against him is not allowing you to sail into that plan.
Mm-hmm.
So if things are happening in your life that you're fighting against, what I encourage people to do is be still. Know that he is God. As you were quoting Psalm 46, verse 10, be still, know that he is God, and recognize God is at work. And say, Lord, what are you doing? And then he begins to open your eyes to his new ways, his new purposes for you.
Now, why do you think it is that a majority of Christians don't experience this spirit-filled life? Often when we talk about the Holy Spirit, most people seem to get afraid. Like, oh, that seems kind of weird. Don't know if I want to deal with that. Why do we have that mentality in the Western church?
Well, I think part of it is just not knowing. I think there's not a lot of talk about living in the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that is so sad to me because I believe that God is looking for men and women who are willing to say, yes, Lord, I want it to be your idea. I want it to be your strength and your power. And, you know, unfortunately, I think that there are a lot of people just living out their own plans, not even living with that sense of, God, what do you want? What do you have in mind for me? And that's why I said I just really want to see us get radical,
mm-hmm.
and have that reckless abandonment to the will of God and to say, hey, you know, I wonder what God would do if he gave us his ideas and we looked for him to do something extraordinary, something greater than ourselves, something more than we could ever do in and of our own strength.
It seems like most Christians are content to play with caps instead of actually playing with dynamite.
Exactly. And see, that's where I want to say, hey, let's step out of the crowd and let's say, God, what's your idea? You know, there are a lot of great imitators today,
mm-hmm.
and few initiators. And you see, I believe that God is looking for those who will say, God, what's your idea? What's your plan? And then when he gives it, you know, it is going to be impossible. It's going to look impossible. Why? Because we have an extraordinary, impossible, great, and mighty God who is always going to do more than we can ever ask or imagine in our own thinking.
In your book, you talk a little bit about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is an area that I've actually changed in the past 10 years. I remember when I was first getting married to my wife, you know, we're going through premarital counseling at our church. And one of the things that we touched on was the Holy Spirit in our lives. They asked if I had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, I think all Christians receive the Holy Spirit once you become a Christian. And so why would you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit again? You already have the Holy Spirit. It seems kind of redundant to me. But as I've grown and matured as a Christian, as I've searched the scriptures more, as I've studied the person of the Holy Spirit more and what he wants to accomplish in my life, I began to realize that, yeah, it's true that the Holy Spirit comes into your life when you become a Christian. But there's more than that. Why don't you explain a little bit about what the more than that is?
Yes. Well, all Christians have the Holy Spirit because that's how you become a Christian. And so all Christians are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And they are literally, the Holy Spirit places you in to Christ. And that's what it means to be baptized. You're placed into Christ. However, not all Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit, which means to be controlled and empowered. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Paul said is he said, do not, it's in Ephesians 5:18, he says, do not get drunk with wine, for that will ruin your life, but instead be filled with the Spirit. And what he means there is to be controlled and empowered. It means that you're continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. It's something that needs to happen every day. Why? Because we often take back the control. We take back the control of our own lives. And when we sin, we need to confess our sin and then say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. It's as though he's just continuing to pour the water of the Holy Spirit in and through us to control us and empower us. And that's why one of the things he said was, he said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And that's the picture of being filled with the Holy Spirit.
What would you say to someone who hears that and they're still on, you know, the fence about it, saying, that just sounds so weird. I don't know if I want to do that. That won't that make me some kooky Christian person that is going around acting strange all the time? I mean, what do you say to people who are afraid of this whole concept of being filled with the Holy Spirit?
Well, I would say it's God's will for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is read the New Testament and just know that that is what God has in mind for you. He intends for you. It's very simply that he wants to be your strength. The Holy Spirit, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it means that you are relying on his strength instead of your own strength. And so he is going to make you more than you are right now. I can tell you that when you are filled with the Spirit, you are going to see him do things in and through you that you could have never imagined you would ever do. I mean, I just look at me even writing a book or standing in front of people or even doing this radio interview. I would never do things like this in and of myself, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, he will enable you to do what he calls you to do. And so I think you should be afraid, but not the kind of afraid that's like a scary fear, but more of a reverent fear, to realize that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, that God himself lives in you and has something in mind for your life. And so will you let him do in and through you what he has in mind? That's the question.
That's a very important question that has a very important answer that will have implications for our lives and the rest of eternity. Now, when people hear about the Holy Spirit, often the first thing they start thinking of are spiritual gifts, such as tongues and prophecy and so on and so forth. Where does all of that fit into this concept of being a spirit-filled believer and living a spirit-filled life?
Well, he does give you gifts. That's the incredible thing, is that every Christian has spiritual gifts, and they're given in order to carry out what God has in mind for your life. He gifts you with what you need for what he asks you to do. And like for me, one of my gifts is encouragement. And I just have a passion to encourage others, teach others. And someone else might have a gift of mercy because of what God is asking them to do, or a gift of like helps. And so the gifts fit into how we fit into the body. That's how the gifts fit. And you are gifted according to what God has in mind for you to do in your life.
The other thing that often comes up when you talk about the Holy Spirit is how prominent he was in the early church. You look through the book of Acts, you look through the first several centuries of the early church, and the movements of the Holy Spirit seemed very prominent, seemed very observable. It seemed to be happening all over the place. And then, you know, the lack of that so-called here in the modern era of the church. And, you know, there's some people who believe in dispensationalism. There was a time when the Holy Spirit was necessary to get the church jump-started. Not so much now, so that doesn't really – he's not active now because, you know – Where do we find any guidance on that issue where people say, okay, yeah, I've heard of this Holy Spirit guy. He was in the Bible, but we don't need him today.
And that just makes me laugh.
I hear that.
how I pray that the Holy Spirit will blow across our entire world and cause a great spirit-ignited revival among people all over the world. The Holy Spirit is outside the realm of time, and he's eternal, and he is part of the triune God, and you just can't put him in a box. And that's why it's so exciting to read in the New Testament, and that's one of the reasons why I wrote Set My Heart on Fire. Because I want people to come to God and say, Lord, what do you want to do in my life? You know, we only have one life to live. Let's see what God can do in our lives. And the things we read about in the New Testament, what would happen if those things were happening? And they are happening in certain parts of the world. And I pray they'll happen here too.
Yeah. This kind of answers my next question I was going to ask you, which is kind of a loaded question whenever people ask this. But still, it's a common one when we talk about the Holy Spirit, so let's get it out of the way. Why don't we see more of these miraculous moves of the Holy Spirit? Is there something missing? If there is something missing, what is it? But why don't we see that happening in the same way it was happening in the early church?
Well, I think part of it's a mystery because we don't even, no one can predict even when a revival will happen. No one knew when the Welsh revival of 1904 and 1905 was going to happen, but that was an amazing move of the Holy Spirit where it was said that all of Wales was one gigantic prayer meeting. Hmm. And literally the Spirit of God just moved across that entire area of the world. And people wouldn't leave church because they just sensed the presence of God. And God was just at work in a powerful, mighty way. And so I can say that many are just living in their own strength and aren't even seeking after God. I think there is sin in the world. I think there's a lot of corruption in the world. Do I think that God can move in a great and mighty way again, just as we have seen in the past and even in the early church? Absolutely. I say yes.
You know, those are kind of strong words when you say that and people are listening like, what? No, I'm not just living in my own strength or living in sin. It's something else. It's something else that's keeping the Holy Spirit from working. It's not my fault.
Well, no, and I wouldn't say that every single person's living in sin. Oh, no, it's not exactly what I mean. But what I mean is that we need to ask God to move in a powerful and mighty way, and we need to pray and ask him to do something that only he can do and revive hearts. And I think that there are people that are doing a lot in their own strength instead of asking God to give them his strength and his power. And that's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
I know this is going to sound a little harsh, but I still have to say it. I think one of the main problems, especially here in our comfortable Western society, when it comes to this lack of the Holy Spirit truly being active in our lives and our churches comes from the fact that we're just too comfortable. We have people doing everything for us as Christians. You know, you got sermons that you can go to right after you go to the coffee shop. You have sermons on CD, MP3, on your, you know, MP3 player, your iTunes, your iPod, so on and so forth. TV, it's everywhere. We don't have to do anything, you know, because
right.
God talks about you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your hearts. But so often we seem content to let other people do the seeking for us. And then we wonder, nothing's happening. I don't get it. I went to church like 3 times this week. I did the Saturday, the Sunday service, and the Wednesday service. Nothing's happening. Doesn't work. I don't know. I don't get it. Let's go get a latte. And I think the fact of the matter is we just have it too easy. Now, let me be very clear, people. I am not one of the advocates that says, you know what we need? We need persecution in the church. That's the only way we're going to shake out of our apathy. That may be true, but man, I really don't want that because that would be terrible. It wouldn't be any fun. I agree with some of the pastors I've listened to recently who say, you know what? We can shake ourselves out of our apathy if we choose to. However, if we don't, then maybe it will take persecution. But why would we want to wait for that? Why not just choose now to seek God and to seek him with all of our hearts and to have the Holy Spirit move like he can and will when we're seeking after God? And let's not wait until persecution comes, because then someone else is taking the initiative. I like how you brought that up about we need to take the initiative ourselves.
Well, we need to step out of the crowd and just set aside the many things for the one thing, and set aside a time, a place, and a plan, and spend time alone with God every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just was studying today about E.M. Bounds, who's a guy back in the early 1900s, late 1800s, and here was a guy that was really unbelievable for his day, and he would pray for 2 or 3 hours in the morning. And I just read that and I thought, wow, I mean, that's just unbelievable. I can't imagine every day that guy, and his books on prayer are still powerful even today, Power Through Prayer.
Hmm.
And then Andrew Murray, he's another one, and his book With Christ in the School of Prayer was used it was one of the catalysts for the Great Welsh Revival. So I guess what I'm longing for is I am longing to see a revival.
Hmm.
And I am longing for people to say, you know what, I am going to set aside some time every day, spend time with God, and get to know God and connect with God and ask him to take a hold of my life and see what it is that he can do. And you know what? When people begin to do that, the Lord is going to set their heart on fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what's going to happen. And they are going to be filled with a passion and a purpose that they've never known before.
You're talking about setting aside some time. We're talking with Catherine Martin here on Raw Talk. She's the author of Set My Heart on Fire. And I don't know if they're doing this in your part of the country, but here in Albuquerque and the state of New Mexico, there's an initiative going on right now called You've Got the Time. It's done by Hosanna Ministries, Faith Comes by Hearing. And what they're encouraging people to do is to get an audio version of the Bible, the New Testament, and listen to it for just 28 minutes a day. 28 minutes, and you can listen to the entire New Testament in just 40 days. And there's over 100 churches here in Albuquerque in the state of New Mexico participating with this right now. M88 is participating with this right now. We got several of the DJs who are committed to doing just that, setting aside 28 minutes a day to listen to the New Testament. And I love the name of this initiative. You've got the time, because that's the fact of the matter. There's a writer strike going on right now in Hollywood, people. There is nothing on TV, okay? I mean,
that
could be said before, but now it's really true because there's no writers. So what do you, they got like a new reality show coming out called The Baby Borrowers. I'm like, wow, really? That's the best we can offer on TV? I totally have the time to listen to the New Testament, because why would I want to watch a show about people borrowing someone else's baby for a half an hour? 28 minutes of the New Testament sounds really good compared to that.
That is really cool. I love that. And you know what? The Holy Spirit works hand in hand with the Word of God. He takes the Word of God and makes it come alive in a person's life. you know, without the Holy Spirit, it would be just words on a page. But he makes, he's the one who inspired the Word of God. It's mm-hmm. God breathed. It was men moved by the Holy Spirit. So that's very exciting. 20 minutes a day.
Yeah. It's and I've just, we just finished the book of Matthew this past week. And it was actually very fascinating to listen to it as opposed to read it, because, you know, you process information differently when you're reading in your head as opposed to listening. And it's been a very enlightening and exciting experience for me and my wife. We've been doing this together. And if anyone's curious, if you don't mind me throwing in a plug, Catherine, I know we're talking about your book, Set My Heart on Fire, but just a little, short little plug. You can go to m88.org. We got details there about how you can get involved, how your church can get involved, how you can get a free MP3 version of the New Testament to join in if you'd like to. And if you got calls for or questions for Catherine Martin and like to call, 505-338-5790 as we talk about the Holy Spirit, living a Spirit-filled life. Are you intrigued by that? I hope you are. And if you got some questions about that, don't hesitate to call. Here we are at the beginning of 2008. Now is the time to figure this out and to go through the coming year and the coming decade, the coming century, as Spirit-filled Christians who are going to radically alter our state, our communities, our neighbors' houses, the entire world. We can't do that without the Holy Spirit. We try it in our own strength. It's going to fail miserably. I know that's sad to hear, but it's true. So if you got questions about being a Spirit-filled Christian, give us a call, 505-338-5790. Now, Catherine, let's get practical here as we talk about this. We've talked about the Spirit-filled life in very grand strokes. How does this apply to us personally? What is the difference in a person's day-to-day life if they were to engage in this journey to be a Spirit-filled Christian?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that, because I was just thinking that is the one thing that we need to understand is when the Holy Spirit is at work in our life. Here's how you can tell. I mean, have you ever been just walking along and a verse came to your mind? Mm-hmm. Well, that was the Holy Spirit. Or have you ever been sitting in your quiet time and you're reading a passage of Scripture, and all of a sudden it just seems like a verse leaps off the page, and you see it as you never saw it before? That's the Holy Spirit. Or have you been just maybe in your quiet time or going about your day, and you think of somebody, and someone comes to your mind, and you cannot get them out of your mind, and you just know you need to call that person, you need to encourage them, you need to tell them they need to stand strong, or whatever it is? That's the Holy Spirit. Or have you ever been thinking about your life and you realize something that you did wrong, and that it was wrong before the Lord, and you need to just confess that? You realize it was sin? That's the Holy Spirit at work. Mm. And have you ever been in a difficult circumstance and you needed encouragement, and maybe you were reading through the Bible and a verse just really encourages your heart right where you're at in your difficulty? That's the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the Lord Jesus said, it's a good thing that I am going away, because then the Comforter can come who will be with you forever. Mm. And that's really what the Holy Spirit is all about. He's the paraclete. He's the comforter. It's just imagine having a personal trainer who's with you at all times, alongside you to encourage you, to give you the power you need right when you need it, or the wisdom you need when you need it. That's the Holy Spirit.
One of my favorite things about the Holy Spirit, and I just encountered this today, is how he moves in churches. At our church today, we were talking about worship, restoring the tabernacle of David. It's a system of worship that brings us before God corporately, and how worship is so important in the life of a Christian. And then we have one of the DJs here, Steve-O, on his way to church, and he's very active in his church. On his way to church, he got a call saying that the pastor wouldn't be there today. Could he do a message? And he panicked. I don't know what to do. He turns on some music, starts worshiping, and when he gets to church, he ends up doing a message on the importance of worship and how we can be fans of God. He used a lot of sports analogies because, you know, we had the NFL playoffs going on.
Yep.
But
yep.
In essence, his message was very similar to what we heard at our church, totally unrelated. And he was sharing that, and I had so much joy in my heart as I heard that. I was like, man, how cool is that? Completely different churches, no contact with each other. You know, it's not like I called him up, hey, this is what we talk about. And yet, through the Holy Spirit, as God has a message for his church, encouragement for his church, the exact same message is preached in different manners with different illustrations, but it's the same message. And I always found that so exciting when you go from one church to another and they're talking about the same thing.
Exactly. And see, then you know it's God at work.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying, you know, it's just the most exciting thing. It's what I call the great adventure of knowing God.
Hmm.
Because there's just nothing that compares when God is doing the work. And I'm sure that there are those who are listening today who have experienced that, where they've seen God do something in their life, and they just go, oh, wow, that was you, God. That was amazing. And you see, that's the Holy Spirit at work.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I just want every Christian to experience that, to experience the abundant life that God has in mind for them to know. And to not live in defeat, and to not choose to live for themselves, but to live for the Lord, because there's just nothing that compares to that. I mean, then, you know, you just never know what God might ask you to do. It might be something like preach a sermon, or but then again, he might ask you to do something else, like go across the street and encourage a person in a coffee shop or that you see every day, and he just moves you to go and encourage that person. And I've done that before, and they'll start to cry because they'll say, you know, I was just wishing that someone would have a word of kindness for me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when God moves you to do that, that's the Holy Spirit.
If you got a question or comment for Catherine Martin as we talk about being Spirit-filled Christians here in 2008, give us a call, 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790 to talk about being a Spirit-filled Christian. If you got questions for Catherine Martin as we talk about this, now's the opportunity to get those questions answered. And don't wait until we're just about to end the program, because then the question will go unanswered, and that makes no one happy. So if you got something on your mind, now's the time to share it. Now, as you go through your book, I noticed that you break down the Holy Spirit into four distinct areas, which I thought was a very good way to do it, because a lot of people, one of the first questions they ask about this is like, well, how am I supposed to get to know the Holy Spirit? He's the Holy Ghost, after all, so I'd love to live that, but how am I supposed to approach this person that's a ghost? Why don't you talk a little bit about the four areas that you broke down this person of the Holy Spirit into, and how that will help us live a Spirit-filled life?
Well, I talk about first how to, first of all, I will say this, in the 30-day journey, it is a 30-day journey, Set My Heart on Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's designed to, first of all, understand that God has a plan for you all about the Holy Spirit. And then in week two, we look at who the Holy Spirit is, then the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. But one of the things I talk about is how exactly to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And first of all, it's important to surrender. Surrender to the Holy Spirit and let go of your way and say, yes, Lord, I want your way. Confess any known sin, pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. So that's the first thing I talk about, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I talk about in this book who the Holy Spirit is. He's your God. He's your salvation. He's your comforter. He's your indwelling glory. He guarantees eternal life for you. And then I talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does in your life is he enables you to experience the presence of the Lord. And, you know, people say, well, how can I know that God is real. Well, the Holy Spirit will enable you to experience God's presence. And so that's part of the journey in this 30-day journey in Set My Heart on Fire, is talking about what the presence of the Holy Spirit does in you. And one of the things that I really emphasize is the fact that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. He actually lives in us. And so that makes a difference. We're not just people walking around on this earth. We're like living temples or tabernacles with Jesus living in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what that means for us is holiness. We need to live a holy life. Intimacy with God, because he's not just with us, he's living in us. And then ministry. He wants to do something in and through our lives. So that's part of the Set My Heart on Fire journey.
Now, just in case anyone is wondering, this isn't just stuff that you pulled out of thin air to slap together in a book and say, yeah, this sounds like something people will be interested in, make some money off of that. You have a lot of scripture that you use in this, and one of the things I've enjoyed both in this book and in your other book, Knowing and Loving the Bible, is the way you've pulled out some scriptures and used them to emphasize your points. And just about every chapter, I come across a scripture that you've used that I'm writing down in my notebook. It's like, oh, that's a good one. Let me write that down so I don't forget that. But you use a lot of scripture in this book as you talk about the Holy Spirit and what he's going to do in our lives. Why don't you talk about just how much research it took to find all the scripture about the Holy Spirit? And it's not just from the New Testament.
No, it's all the way through the Bible. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's part of the triune God. And to me, I want people to go to the Word of God. In other words, when you pick up this book, Set My Heart on Fire, I want you to open the Bible. And I want you to be looking up these verses, because you want to build your life on what God says in his Word. And so ideas aren't worth anything if it's not based on the Word of God. That's what needs to be the authority for your belief in your life. And so that's why there's so much scripture. And literally, I believe that God speaks in his Word. And so I figure that I wanted every chapter to be filled with the Word of God, so that people would open their Bibles, look at what these verses say, and have them hidden in their heart. And that's what really changes your life, is God uses his Word to transform your life. And so you're going to know so much about the Holy Spirit from the Word of God, and you'll know that it's true. Just because I said it, it doesn't mean anything. It's if God says it, that's what counts.
I like some of the scripture chains that you have as you go through the various chapters. I was reading, I don't remember which chapter I was on last night, but I was reading through it, and you had this whole chain of scriptures that started in the Old Testament, ended up in the New Testament, and I was reading that and just thinking, well, that's kind of cool. Because so often people think, oh, yeah, Holy Ghost, New Testament thing, doesn't have anything to do with the Old Testament. That's something they made up, you know, in the New Testament church just to make things sound cooler. You know, there's all these critics when it comes to this idea of the Holy Spirit. You know, it was an invention of the church for this reason or that reason. You only read about it in the New Testament and blah, 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 blah. And it just seems like we work so hard sometimes to convince ourselves that the Holy Spirit isn't real. And I've never really understood that. And we kind of touched on this before, but let's make people uncomfortable and let's talk specifically. What are some ways that we as individuals can hinder ourselves from being spirit-filled Christians? What are some of the common things that we as Christians do, we as people do, that keeps the Holy Spirit out of our lives?
Well, I think as Christians, one of the things we do is we wrestle when God has a plan and we have a different plan. So,
that's true.
I mean, there's a perfect example.
I'm just laughing because that sounds like me. I didn't mean for you to talk about me, Catherine. I meant other people.
I know. No, I'm telling you, it's me too. Me too. I have my ways and God has his ways. And if I'm fighting against it, then really I'm kind of like wrestling with the Spirit of God. And I can tell you who always wins. The Spirit of God always wins, but I will wrestle. So that's one of the ways that you can hinder, is if you're struggling against, it gets back to that setting of the sail to catch the wind of the Holy Spirit. And then other things that we do, we sin, and we choose to live in our own self-will, and we don't confess our sins. And so sometimes if we're living in sin and the Holy Spirit is convicting us, if we will just run to God and confess our sin and say, thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for my sins, then we're not holding on to our own self-will. We're saying, God, here it is, and you take control of my life. So that's another way. And then we choose not to forgive people. Sometimes we hang on to unforgiveness. And I love the example of Corrie Ten Boom, and that's just one of my favorite examples, because she went through Ravensbrück concentration camp, and mm-hmm. when she got out of that camp, she was speaking in front of a huge crowd. And at the end of her message, after she had talked about grace and mercy and forgiveness, a man walked up to her and extended his hand to her, and in an instant, she realized that he was one of the guards at that concentration camp who had been most cruel to her sister. And the man had become a Christian, and he extended his hand, and he said, can you forgive me? And she just fought against the Holy Spirit and said, I cannot, Lord, I cannot forgive. And then she remembered that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart through the Spirit of God. And so she said, I can't, but he can. Mm-hmm. And she extended her hand, and she was able to forgive that man. And that's a perfect example of how we fight against, but when we say, okay, I can't, but he can, then we see the Holy Spirit at work.
I think another thing that often hinders us is just the mundanity of day-to-day life. We allow yep. ourselves to be beaten senseless by routine, especially in college or in high school, when you're assaulted constantly with a different point of view about how to live your life. I remember there were times when I was in college where I felt, after a week of classes, that I had been beaten to a bloody pulp, spiritually speaking. Mm-hmm. And the best I could do in those times, and I am no spiritual giant, people. Don't take me wrong. I'm not trying to say, oh, look at me, I survived college. I was beaten down so many times when I was college. And at the end of those types of days, those types of weeks, the best I could do was drag myself to the foot of God's throne and just mumble out a very weak, help me, I don't know how much more I can do. And yet, it wasn't me. There's somehow, through the Holy Spirit, I was always able to find a way to get back up again and dive back into the fray. And yep. and that was totally not me. And yep. I'm so grateful that I knew God when I was in college. And more importantly, that I knew that the Holy Spirit would be with me, because otherwise I never would have made it. But it was a conscious choice on my part to go before God and seek him in those times, because I just know, and I know there's so many college students, so many high school students who feel the same way, that they're just being beaten down and there's no way to win. And yeah. that daily routine can wear us down to the point where we're willing to give up. That's exactly what the enemy wants, and that's exactly what we don't want to have happen.
That's right. And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why spending daily time alone with God in his word and in prayer is just so critical for every single one of us, because there are things throughout the day that beat us down, and the enemy is at work, and we have difficult jobs, and we just face all kinds of difficult things. But daily time alone with God, where he can encourage us and give us, in a sense, orders from headquarters, I guess,
hey.
Our marching orders for the day, to just hear from God and draw near to Him and be encouraged and be challenged and be growing in our relationship with Him. It's just so important. And that's where we find our strength to make it through the day.
One of the things I've been telling the staff here at M88 and our sister radio station, and I don't know why this has been so heavy on my heart, but I've been telling everybody, hey, let's prepare for battle. This is going to be a big year for us, but let's never forget that we are on the front lines of a spiritual war, and we can't let our day-to-day work routine numb us to that fact. If we do, we're going to lose. And it's been interesting to see the effect of being reminded that on a weekly basis, where I say, we're in a spiritual battle, people. Let's prepare for war. Because that's not part of the usual work routine, but the more that we make it part of that usual work routine, I get more and more excited about what's going to happen this year. Well, we got some people who didn't take my advice and decided to wait until the end of the show to call in, but I want to hear what they say anyway, so let's find out. We have Tara on the line. Tara, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hey, funny. No, I'm kidding. I have a question, and just something I do. Daily, I ask God to fill me with the Spirit and to be upon me so I can do His will. Now, yo, I got that from Scott Richards. So.
good guy to get that from.
Exactly. Also, I know God does things for me because I certainly don't have the strength. How come it's so hard, then, to do things?
What do you think?
Doing it?
Yeah, what do you think about that, Catherine?
What did she say? I didn't hear it.
Well, she was asking, you know, she asked daily to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet it seems like it's still so hard sometimes to follow through on the things that the Holy Spirit is calling her to do. Why is it so difficult sometimes to do these things?
Well, it is going to be difficult because, you know, He is going to ask you to do things that are difficult, but He's working in ways that you can't even see. And the times when you think that you're just not doing as much as you should or that kind of thing, you'd be surprised at what God is doing in and through your life. When you're asking Him to fill you with His Spirit and control and empower you, He doesn't always let you see everything that He's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say.
And the other thing I would say, Tara, is just like the point I was just making, and I think it's a point a lot of Christians forget. The fact of the matter is we're at war, and there's an enemy who would do anything in the world to make us feel ineffective and unable to do anything at all. And let's not be under any delusion that just because we're Christians, everything's going to be honky-dory and it's going to go super easy all the time. War is not easy.
No.
But this is a fight that is worth the fight. So I would say in the times when you feel, why is this so hard? Why is this so difficult? That's probably the times when you're being most effective, because that's probably the times when you're engaged in the fiercest battles. And I know that's been the case for me often when I felt that way. You know, 2020 hindsight, I look back and say, wow, man, that was a battle and I didn't even know it, but I'm glad I didn't give up and I pushed forward with all my might. And all the might that was provided to me through the Holy Spirit is really what I meant to say. I hope that helps you out, Tara. Does it help out a little bit?
It does. Thank you very much. God bless you guys.
Thank you. Have
God
a good
bless
night.
You.
All right, we have DJ on the line. DJ, we're almost out of time. Real quick, what do you have to say?
Oh, well, like, I have kind of some input. I called in earlier during the show because I had some input on what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just how there, you know, there isn't so much of, you're not seeing as much work that's going on by the Holy Spirit as, you know, as you do see in the New Testament and in the Bible days and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's due to a lot of just the distractions that we have, whether it's media or music, and we constantly have these different things thrown in our faces. And so, you know, it does take our mind off of that. You know, we're not thinking about it as much. And I believe it was Smith Wigglesworth who had said it, you know, and someone had asked him, you know, how are you staying so strong in God? You know, how much do you really pray? Because, I mean, he was just an amazing man of God, and he's, you know, and he just told him that, I never go, he's like, I don't pray for any longer than 5 minutes. And they were like, wait, what? And he's like, but I never go 5 minutes without praying.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Well, DJ, thank you so much for your comment. I appreciate you calling in, all right? All right, have a good night. Well, Catherine, the time has flown, as it often does, when we sit down to chat with each other.
Yes.
Real quick, why don't you tell everyone where they can learn more about you, if you got a website, someplace they can contact you, learn more about your book, Set My Heart on Fire.
We do. Quiet Time Ministries Online. It's at www.quiettime.org. And there you'll find Set My Heart on Fire. We have the books, the DVDs, and just all kinds of encouragement for your quiet time to get into the Word of God. And I just encourage people to continue to engage in the great adventure of knowing God.
Well, Catherine, it's just been such a pleasure for me to make your acquaintance and certainly to read some of the stuff that you've written down. It's been a big encouragement in my life. I hope tonight's discussion has been an encouragement to people. And thank you so much for doing what you do.
Oh, you are welcome, and God bless you.
God bless you, Catherine. You have a great evening.
Okay.
All right. And again, Catherine Martin will have this Raw Talk up tomorrow as a free podcast if you want to go over what we discussed in case you're tuning in late and missed anything at m88.org. Next week should be an interesting week. We're going to talk a little bit about the church and how a lot of people don't have a problem with church. It's Christians they can't stand. And we're going to talk about that in detail, why that is and what we can do about it. And then after that, we're going to have another regular here on Raw Talk. Ron Rhodes will be joining us as we talk a little bit about some of the prophetic events that are taking place right under our noses and what that might mean for this upcoming year, 2008. So got some great programs lined up here in the coming weeks. And Madrid is pretty excited because the Giants won tonight. He's raising the roof even as we speak. Always appreciate Madrid and all the work he does here on Raw Talk. And it's always a pleasure when his team wins because he's much more pleasurable to work with. And also want to thank Sorrel. She does all the research for Raw Talk, and I appreciate all that she does. And my guest, Catherine Martin, can't say enough about her. It's been just a pleasure to get to know her. Well, that's going to wrap things up for this Raw Talk as we talked about being a spirit-filled believer. You know what? I have come to the conclusion that if you're going to be a believer at all, why wouldn't you want to be a spirit-filled believer? It's the only way to go. We're going to face challenges. We're going to face difficulties. We're going to face persecution. You want to find a way through it? The Holy Spirit will help you through it. You want to know God? The Holy Spirit will help you to know God. You want to see miraculous things happen in your life and the lives of people around you? The Holy Spirit still works the same way that he did as we read in the New Testament. How do I know that? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Spirit is God, and he can work in your life. Be encouraged. Be of good cheer. He has overcome the world, and he lives inside of you. Man, that's absolutely astounding. Hope you have a great evening in the Lord. Thanks for joining us here on Raw Talk on M88.